Isaiah describes a very mournful condition of the people of God. He looks to God and he says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." He says, "God, if you just break open the heavens and come down here where we are." He longs for a melting fire to dissolve their cold hearts. He longs for a burning heat to make the waters boil. He longs for a swift flame to burn the brushwood. He laments these words, "There is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee." He said, if somebody would stir himself up and work himself to the place where he had the courage and boldness to reach up to heaven and say, "I'm going to take hold of God," he said, maybe that would help this nation. To take hold of God implies a grasping for God. To take hold of God implies a reverent familiarity with God. And by the way, I am convinced in my soul that far too many of us are too little familiar with God instead of too familiar with God. Taking hold of God implies a using force to win a blessing. Taking hold of God is a Jacob at Jabbok saying to the angel who came down as he's praying, saying to the angel, "I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go until thou blessest me." And they're wrestling all night long with the angel until God gives him a blessing. Taking hold of God implies an Elijah who on Mount Carmel looks up and says, "Thou the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, vindicate thyself and show these people who is God." And he reaches up and as it were, God gives him as it were the faucet of heaven, and he's able to turn the faucet and turn on the reins and turn off the reins, literally taking hold of God. Taking hold of God is a Joshua who's in the battle. He needs more light time. He needs more daylight hours. And so he invents his own daylight saving time and reaches up and says, let me have the lever that causes the sun to stay in the sky. And God says, "Okay, Joshua, here it is." And Joshua reaches up and takes the lever and he says, "Son, stand still right where you are." The sun stands still for an hour if you'll be at the command of Joshua. Why? Because Joshua literally reached up and took hold of God, as it were. Taking hold of God implies an Abraham who comes to God and says, "Oh God, would you spare the city of Sodom for 50 righteous people? Oh God, for 45, or for 40, or for 30, or for 20, or for 10. Taking hold of God is a John Calvin about whom it was said, "He took fast hold of God." Taking hold of God is a widow begging in Luke 18, begging for vengeance from the unjust judge. Taking hold of God is a friend at midnight, not willing to quit crying, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." I'm convinced of this morning. I'm convinced that God wants us to come to him. You know, the prophet said, "Command ye me." Martin Luther said, "I will have my will of thee, God, at this time." Think of that. I will have my will of thee at this time. The great men of God literally took hold of God. And Isaiah said, if our nation could be spared, if somebody would stir himself up to take hold of God. Now, there are three things in the Bible, and only three, I think, that apply to this taking hold of God. Taking hold of God. In the first place, God admonishes the unsaved to take hold of him for salvation. That's exactly what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and again in verse 19, where it says, "Lay hold on eternal life." Better translated, that is, take hold. What it says is, reach out, here's eternal life, reach out and take it. Take hold. Look up and take hold of God, and you say, "God, I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to be unsaved. I'm not going to be without you. I'm not going to die unprepared. I'm not going to face you without salvation." Reach out and take hold of it. Away with this garbage that says, "This is not my time yet. When my time comes, I'll get saved." Brother, your time is here the minute you reach out and take hold of God. reach out and take hold of God. Reach out and say, I'm going to be saved. Listen. If you come to God and you feel like you've not been genuinely converted, you get out in the woods somewhere and you beg God to save you and you stay there. If you don't feel like He has, you beg some more. If you don't feel like He has, you beg some more. So you can get the place to where you believe that God has died, given His Son. His Son has died for you. Take hold of salvation. I'm a little weary of people saying, well, it's just not my time yet. I do not think when my time comes, I think I'll know. You won't know any more then than you know now. You know now that you're a sinner. You know now that sinners are lost. You know now that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. You know now that by faith in that death on the cross and that Jesus who died, you can go to heaven. Now all you've got to do, and you listen to me, all you've got to do this morning, if you're here and you don't know that you're saved, if you're here and you don't know that your name is in heaven, all you've got to do is say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I know Jesus died for me, and this morning reach up and take hold of God and say, God, I'm going to be saved. And God in heaven will chuckle for joy and give you eternal life and write your name in heaven. Take hold of God. John Bunyan once said, I was so driven that I would have run to Christ even if He had stood with a sword in His hand. Yea, I would have run upon the very point of that sword rather than be as I was. Aren't you tired of your sin this morning? Aren't you tired of going to bed at night wondering if you're saved? Aren't you tired of weary unrest, heartache, guilt, conviction? Aren't you tired of living in doubt? Reach out this morning and say, I'm going to run to Jesus. If He stands with a drawn sword in His hand, I'll fear, die on that sword rather than be like I am. Reach out and take hold of salvation and be saved before you leave. Take hold of God. You say, preacher, how do you do that? You just take hold of the scripture that says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely, and you squeeze it till you get enough water out to make yourself a Christian. You say, what does it mean to take hold of God? You take hold of that scripture that says, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you just run to Christ and claim it and say, Lord, here it is. I'm coming to You. You said You wouldn't cast me out. You've got the Word of God that you'll go to heaven. What does it mean to take hold of God for salvation? Take hold of Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You sit down and reason with God today. And you say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I'm reasoning this thing out. I know You died for me. And I know that salvation is for all men. And you said, though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Or as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I come, Jesus, to You today. And I take hold of the scripture. Take hold of John 3:16. Show it to God and believe on Him and see if He won't save you. Take hold of John 3:18 and believe on Him and show it to God and see if He won't save you. This morning, if you're not on your way to heaven, if you don't know that you're saved, take hold of God. But there's a second way that in which we're supposed to take hold of God, and that way is in this matter of strength. We find in Isaiah 27, verse 5, this wonderful promise. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. Take hold of God's salvation, but more than that, take hold of God's strength. What does that mean? That means you don't have to be weak and weary. You can take hold of God's strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. People say so often, Brother Hiles, you go day and night, and you preach day and night, you never take a vacation, never take a day off. How do you get strength? I tell you how I get strength. I take hold of God for strength. That's what the Bible said. Take hold of God. Times when I go to the pulpit and I'm so weary I can hardly walk in, I reach up and say, God, I want to grab on to You. Hang on to that. That's what I used to do when I got tired as a kid. I'd hang on to Daddy. Now my daddy's gone. I hang on to my big daddy. My heavenly daddy. My heavenly papa. Take hold of God for strength. That little lady in Texas who had cancer. But she was a widow. And she had two children to rear. And she had to work. And she found out she had cancer. She went home and she said, God, I can't die. I have two children to rear and no husband. I can't die. And not only that, I'm not going to die. Well, Lord's pretty in the fix when you just refuse to die, you know. And she said, you just try to kill me today. I won't die. She said, I'm going to live. She said, I'm going to live. I won't die. I've got two kids and I want to see them grow up. So she didn't die that day. Next morning she got up and she said, Lord, I'm not going to die today either. Now you can call it cancer and they can say it's incurable. But I've got these two kids right here and they need a mama. And I want to rear them for you and you know I'll rear them for you. I'm not going to die today and I'll talk to you tomorrow about tomorrow when the sun comes up tomorrow morning. She didn't die that day. Next day she got up and she said, God, this is not a good day to die. I'm not going to die. Look at my kids. They're still not grown, and I'm going to raise them. And I'm not going to die. Now, you can give me an incurable disease if you want to, but I'm not going to die. She didn't die. Every morning she got up and she took hold of God. That's what I'm talking about. Take hold of God. Reach up and she said, Lord, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. That's been about 25 years, and she still refused to die. Take hold of God's strength. That's what God meant when he said, take hold of his strength. I'm talking to somebody who's here to go to Hiles Anderson College. I talked to a boy the other day, God bless him, a single boy, here to Hiles Anderson. And I asked him what grades he made last year, and he said he had to quit school. And I said, why? He said, financial troubles. I'd be ashamed to stick my, I'd stick my head in the sand till school starts again. Financial troubles for a single fella. Good night in the morning. There's enough snow to shovel and enough grass to mow and enough yards to work on, and there's enough work to do in this area where nobody has to quit Hiles Anderson College who's single. We got men here with 3 and 4 and 5 kids, sporting a wife and 3, 4, and 5 kids, while you lazy little rascals are, I just can't afford to go to college. I hope you get the hiccups the rest of your life. God looks down and says, I wish somebody reach up and grant. I think when Joshua said, Lord, let me have that lever. I've got to have more sunshine today. And the Lord said, that brash preacher down there said, Gabriel, did you hear what he said? He wants the lever that makes the sun. Said, give it to him. Let him have it. Let him have it. Hey, Michael. Elijah. Elijah, just pour 12 buckets of water on top of that. He wants me to send fire. And Elijah says he wants to have the faucet up here. It makes it right. Let him do it. Elijah prayed it wouldn't rain. It wouldn't rain. Don't you recall what? I love to talk about Moses, and you've heard me say it. Moses came to God, and the Lord said, Moses, I want you to, you dwelt long enough here. I want you to take these people now, and I want you to go on to the promised land. And Moses said, okay, I'll be glad to, but said, don't forget, you're going to go with me. And the Lord said, no. A little busy now, Moses. I've got a lot to do. Got a lot of stars to hold in place, and a lot of folks to feed, a lot of sparrows extra hungry this year, and got a lot of little lilies need some water so I can clothe the lilies of the field, and I don't have time. And Moses said, you're going to go, or I'm not going to go. Oh, my, that's no way to talk to God. And the Lord said, look, Moses, I'll send an angel. And Moses said, I don't even know the angel, and I'm not going to go to the promised land with a stranger. And the Lord said, Moses, what do you want to do? I'll send you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And he said, pillar nothing. He said, if I go, you go too. And the Lord said, there's going to be a big stink around here. I mean, after all, you led these people out of Egypt, and you're going to be you're going to make a fool of yourself, be awful embarrassed if you don't go on and finish your job. And Moses said, I led these people out of Israel. You led these people out of Egypt. You led them out of Egypt, and you're the one that's going to be embarrassed. And the Lord said, I've been wanting to go all the time. I think I'll go. What did he do? He took hold of God. I tell you something this morning, you young people, you don't know how you're going to pay your bill. Take hold of God. Work yourself to death and work day and night and take hold of God. And you say, God, I will have this thing. I will finish this job. I will have my prayer answered. I will win the victory. I will not be defeated. I will not go down. I'll not quit. I will take hold of God. And God will give you what you need if you'll take hold of it. It's yours. It's yours. Don't you recall that amazing passage of Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 22? When the king of Judah said, "What, know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not?" What? Know ye not that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? Let me tell you something. God's power is yours if you'll take hold of it. God's blessings are yours if you'll take hold of them. God's strength is yours if you'll take hold of it. I'll tell you case after case after case after case where God's young people, especially in school, have said, "God, you're going to see me through." Listen, I can recall when I went to college, whoever's fiddling around with this stuff over here, you listen to me. Sit still. Don't do your fingernails. We had a fellow sitting right back here in this section, had long hair like some sissy fellows do, and long, shaggy hair, looked like a Jerry Rubin rebel, and sitting back here in this section one time, and right while I was preaching, he got his comb out, and he pulled his hair over his head like a girl. He was combing his hair out like that. Couldn't even look like somebody looking through the brush, you know, combing his hair. And I said, "Here! I said you sit still while I'm preaching. You hear what I've got to say. I said you can primp when you get home." Hey, wait a minute. And that's that same fellow clapping, probably. Young man came to my office about a few months later, and I had an appointment with a fellow. I didn't know who he was. He walked in, a good-looking young man with a neat haircut, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "you don't know me, but," he said, "God saved me, and God has called me to preach, and I'm going to go to Hiles Anderson College and be a preacher." But he said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" I said, "I got your name right here." But he said, "You don't know who I am, really." And I said, no, I don't." He said, "I'm the fellow that was primping over in that youth section that day." Now he's saved and called to preach. You got to go to Hiles Anderson College. Some of you folks get a little worried about me, don't you, when I call people down and so forth. Oh, don't you get worried about me. You know why? Because I've been taking hold of God for a long time. Reach up and take hold of God. If you need strength, take hold of God. But there's a third thing that God wants us to take hold of. In Luke 20:26, the Lord says, "Take hold of my words. Take hold of my words." He said first, take hold of salvation. If you're not saved, reach out and take hold of it. It's yours. And if you need strength, reach out and take hold of it. It's yours. You little ladies this morning who are having a hard time making ends meet, and you're having to do washing and ironing, maybe, or you're having to go do housework in somebody else's house to make a few dollars and make ends meet, and you take your money out, and you look at it, and you say, "I don't have enough, just a few dollars, I don't have enough," and oh, why don't you look up and realize that the God whom you serve and worship is the God that sent the ravens to feed His man, and He's the God that sent manna from heaven every morning for 40 years for the Jews. He's the God who fed 5,000 people with a little boy. His lunch basket. He's the God who said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know what this old country needs? You know what you need? You know what I need? You know what we preachers need? We need to believe in God. A God who said He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. I've never seen so many nervous people in my life. Everybody's nervous. I mean, there's nobody to talk to because even the counselors are nervous nowadays. Everybody's nervous. A little lady came to my office the other day. She said, "I've had this appointment 6 weeks. I said, "What's your problem?" She said, "I forgot." I said, "Good. I've been wanting somebody to hear mine for years." Nervous. Everybody's nervous. What are we going to do about Watergate? I'm just going to keep on sowing and preaching. What are you going to do about the coming famine? I'm going to eat. Say, "How you know?" I'm going to just show God what He wrote. Say, "Hey, Lord, did you write that?" "Yeah." Did you write that part that says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus?" You said, "That's sacrilegious. And go ahead and starve and be reverent." It's up to you. Those of us that are irreverent are going to eat while you reverent folks. You won't have enough strength to sing, holy, holy, holy. Did you write that, Lord? Yes, I wrote it. I mean, that part there that says, my God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. Did you write that? Yes, I wrote it. Well, Lord, the cupboard's bare. What you going to do about it? Well, he said, I got to keep my word. And if God wouldn't feed me after I claimed that promise, the sun would melt like wax. The moon would turn to ice. The stars would fall from their courses. The earth would shake like a fig tree with untimely figs shaken off her branches. Why? Because God would not be God. And the day that God will not supply for care for his own people, and the day that God will not give to those who take hold of him, that day, call Mr. Boken. God is dying. Let's bury God. As long as God lives, listen, if God's word is not eternal, God is not eternal. A man is no better than his word is. If God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, God's going to have to take care of our clothing. God's going to have to take care of our food. Or God will not be God. But he also says, take hold of my words. This morning, is there something that you believe would honor God if you had it? Is there something that you believe? I found out some things through these years. I found out you come to God and take hold of his promises. First, take the Bible. Now listen, I'll help you. Take the Bible and search the Bible for promises. Get you a Bible. Get you a promise Bible. Just get you call it a promise Bible. Read it through, and every time you get a promise, check it. Underline it. Don't underline anything but a promise. Just check all the promises you can find. You say, Brother Hiles, what if I checked a promise that was for somebody else? Claim it. I was in a store several months ago. I was looking at men's suits. Somebody would give me some money to buy a suit with. I was looking at men's suits. I was on the road. and so I came to a suit, and I said, I like that one. He said, you can't have that in his own layaway. I said, well, is the fellow going to pick it up? He said, we've had it for months. He hadn't picked it up yet. And I said, why don't you let me pay the rest of it? And I talked to that guy and let me pay the balance of it. He sold me the suit for the balance. I expect if you came to God and said, Lord, I claim this promise over here. And Jeremiah would say, Lord, I wrote that promise and I had the Jews in mind. I bet the Lord would say, well, the Jews haven't been by to pick it up yet. I'll go ahead and give it to a Texan. I've said so often, there's so few folks believe in God nowadays, I suspect God would give a Polack a promise that was made to a Jew. Get you a Bible. Go to that Bible. Read every verse in that Bible. Every time you come, call it your promise Bible. Every time you come to a promise, underline it. Claim it. And then you come to God and show him the promise. Say, Lord, here it is. Tell him what you want. Plead with him for it. Beg him to fulfill his word. If you don't get it, go back and beg again. If you don't get it, try again. If you don't get it, show him again. Lord, you wrote it. If you don't get it, here it is, Lord. What you going to do about it? If you don't get it, pound on his door till he has to either give it to you or tell you he's going to give you something better. I was driving out to O'Hara Field one day in a little red Plymouth I used to drive. Remember that little red Plymouth I used to drive? And had a hole in the floorboard. I didn't know it. I had a rubber mat on it. And so I pushed the rubber mat over accidentally and looked down and saw the ground underneath me. It's amazing how fast that ground was going that way. I didn't know the earth was revolving so fast, you know. And I said, Lord, is that the ground? And it was. And I said, Lord, now I don't mind driving anything there is to drive. But I really could use a new car, but I don't have money to buy it. Parked the car at O'Hara Field. Got back to O'Hara Field and it wouldn't start. I said, Lord, now, you know I've got a lot to do, and I don't care about pretty cars. I don't. I'd as soon drive Volkswagen as a Cadillac as long as it'll get me there. That's all I care about, and you know it. But I said, I'd like to have another car. I got home within 24 hours, my telephone rang, and a fella from 1,000 miles from here called me and said a man from 1,200 miles from him and several hundred miles from here had said God had burdened him to buy a car for Dr. Jack Hyams. This Oldsmobile dealer called me and said, you can have any Oldsmobile we have, 98, air conditioned, anything you want. He said, just tell me what you want, and I'll have it shipped to you. And I said, I don't want it. He said, you don't want a new Oldsmobile? I said, no. He said, don't you like old? I said, I think the best car ever made. He said, Missy, I like Oldsmobiles, bicycles, and Fords in that order. And so, sorry about that. All the folks at Ford Motor Company work there, quit tithing every time I say this. So I went out the next Monday and got in that old red car and watched the ground going under. And the Lord said, Jack, listen, a week ago you were driving on this same road and you saw the ground and you said you want a new car. I gave you your pick. He seemed to say, did you want a Cadillac instead of an old? And I said, no. He said, well, I gave you a car. I said, I didn't want a car. He said, why? I said, Lord, I just wanted to know if you'd still give me one, that's all. I just wanted to know that it's what I need, you'll give me. I wish I could tell you through these years. I wish I could tell you how many times I've come to God. And God knows I wouldn't spend a lot of it on myself. God knows I'm not interested in living, you said, in Texas High on the Hog. Every stitch of clothes I wear, I've had two new suits given me in the last 10 days. It's like his family, Dr. John. They couldn't have any children. And Dr. John Rice. They came to Dr. Rice. Said, Dr. Rice, if you pray, we'd have some kids. And he did. I think they've had 6 or 7 now. And last time I saw the fellow, he said, "Where's John Rice? I've got to talk to him." Somebody's got to shut up heaven. I mean, listen, I wish I had time to tell you all the times that I've come to God and said, God, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And take hold of God. God wants to give you things if he can get you earnest enough to where you want them as bad as he wants to give them to you. God isn't a God that says, I got a lot of stuff. I don't want you to have any of it, but if you'll fuss enough, I'll just have a little bit of it. And he doesn't say, you know, like you used to share your candy with somebody. So can I have a bite? Don't you know that beautiful story about that I told about a year ago? About the little boy and his mother went down to the candy store, or the grocery store, and the boy saw a big box of candy there. It kept in barrels. And the boy looked at it, and he began to drool. And the grocer saw him and said, Johnny, go ahead and take your handful free. And Johnny just drooled. The grocer said, go ahead, Johnny. You can have it free. Take your handful. And Johnny just looked at it and drooled. And finally the grocer said, Johnny's a little timid. He reached down, he got a handful and gave it to Johnny, and Johnny took it. And the mother said, going home, Johnny, why didn't you get it when he said to get it? And little Johnny said, Mama, his hand's bigger than mine. His hand's bigger than mine. God's hand's bigger than yours. He wants you to have blessing more than you want to get them. He wants you to have power more than you want it. He wants you to have victory more than you want it. Take hold of God, of his word. Go back again and again. Show him his word. If there's no answer, do it again. If there's no answer, ask him why and do it again. Luther said, I will have my will of thee at this time. David said, Lord, doest thou hast said. You check how many times David said, Lord, thou hast said. Here's what he was saying. Lord, you wrote this. You wrote it. I'm going to have it. Jacob said, and thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. Moses said, "What wilt thou do for thy great name's sake?" I think that's good. Moses said, "Lord, you got a pretty good reputation now. What you going to do about keeping it?" Said, "Lord, everybody says you answer prayer, and now everybody's going to know if you don't." Jeremiah said, "Look at your people. Look at your people." He said, "God, look at your people. Look at the shape they're in. What you going to do about your people?" Did you ever see a man wouldn't work? I've said it time and time again. Man that goes out and gets drunk and won't work and make a living for his family. And the Bible says he's worse than an infidel. The Bible doesn't say you're supposed to send him a check from Washington. The Bible says let him starve on the sidewalk. But I've said to it, "Man, look at your kids. You drink your liquor. Look at their clothes. Look at the food they don't have. Look at their little bodies. They need food and clothing and shoes. Look at it!" And that's what Jeremiah said, "Lord, look at your people. What you going to do about them?" Abraham said, "Far be it from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked." He said, "Lord, that's not like you. That's not like you. All these promises God has given us are simply to tell his people, take hold. Take hold. If you're not saved this morning, reach out and take hold of God. If this morning you're weak and you don't know how you're going to make it, you don't feel good, and the money's not coming in as you think it ought to come, and you can't pay the bills, and the burdens are stacking higher and higher, take hold of God. Take hold of God. Take hold of God. This morning, if you need something, the blessing and power of God upon you, take hold of God." Brother Norton down here, this missionary brother, missionary in Japan. How many years, Brother Norton? 22 years, missionary in Japan. 22 years. I spoke in Japan. How many years ago was it? 6 years ago, I spoke in Japan, in Tokyo. Dr. Rice and I were there together. And this was a good man, but I could tell God was burning in his soul. He got the idea that if he could do it, they say, "Can't do it in Japan. Can't do it in Japan. Can't do it in Japan." Everybody, where you can't do it, it's wherever I am. He got the idea you could. One of the finest personal soul winners in this world today is Brother Norton over in Japan, winning them by the thousands to Jesus Christ. You know why? Take hold of God. Little Terry Smith out here. I won't tell you the whole story. I made him mad at me one time. I scolded him rather severely one time. I asked him one day, not long ago, "Hey, Terry, it's you that said one of the reasons you worked so hard is to show me you could do it?" I told Terry, I said, "You never amount to much, I guess." Something on the inside said, "I'll show him." Went down to a little church in Texas. It was 60 people, and they had a split, and then the split split. He called me on the phone and offering down to a few dollars, not enough to pay his own salary. Thing just going wide open. Music director left and took a bunch of the members with him, a bunch of them. He didn't have a bunch. Took a few with him. Looked like everything was going down. This young man in his early 20s reached out and took hold of God. Has one of the most beautiful big buildings in all of Texas, now entering into another $500,000 building program right now. God has so much he wants to give you. So much. I've heard Dr. Rice say so often. He dreamed one night he went to heaven. And God showed him a big room. And in that room, all kinds of gifts, all gift wrapped, big bowls, beautifully wrapped. And Dr. Rice said, "Lord, what are all these things?" And he said in his dream, the Lord wiped a tear from his eye, said, "John, those were all the gifts I had I wanted to give my people that they never claimed. They never claimed." This morning, do you have a need that would honor God? Take hold of God. Are you weak of body? Take hold of God. Are you weak of spirit? Take hold of God. Are you a failure in life? Take hold of God. Are you lost without Christ? Take hold of God. Isaiah said, "There is none that stirreth himself to take hold of God." Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?